Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the star of the show, Mr. Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, we're rounding out November here. End of the year's coming quick. Just finished the biggest trade show of the season. Have you recovered? How are you feeling after that?
You know, well, it's great getting back on the podcast. Yes, we did wrap up the largest urban forestry trade show, TCI Expo. And I don't know if I'm recovered yet, Corey. It's not jet lag. If any of our listeners are vendors that have ever ran a booth at a show, that's a different type of energy it takes to be sun up to sundown on your game. It's almost like acting. And I don't want to say it's acting because I don't want to discredit what we do. But man, when you're in a booth, Corey, you got to be on point.
You're always on. So we had breakfast every morning together. We'd go to the booth for 10, 12 hours together, presented in front of a group. And then after that, you have happy hour with people. Then you have dinner with people. You get back to the hotel. You are literally, and I call it on, you're literally on from 7 a.m. to 10, 11 p.m. Just a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot for 3-4 days in a row. And it's very, it's a couple times a year you get that opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, I'm grateful for working for who we do and the opportunity that we get. But this year, if our listeners didn't get a chance to listen, you and I did a live podcast on stage at the show, which even added a little bit more excitement. And I will honestly say that was fun. I enjoyed it.
That was a first for us. So Joe and I did a live podcast recording Friday night or Friday afternoon, 4:30 local time. You know, there was some technology things that we had to overcome, but I had fun with it. You know, we could have gone in so many different directions. Obviously you and I don't rehearse a whole lot because we want to keep it raw, organic, natural. But Joe, the feedback I heard from some of the guests, it was mostly positive. And people were kind of surprised that to hear that we do most of our shows without cutting out some of the fluff. So that was kind of cool. It was kind of cool to be up there, to be vulnerable. And we had some great audience participation too.
Yeah, it was great. And I think our listeners didn't know, you're right, Corey. Very, very, very rarely do we ever give a guest on the podcast an opportunity to prep. And I think that's why we're doing so well, is that you got to know it, you got to feel it, you got to be it. So, yeah. So that at TCI Expo, jumping up in front of 150 people in an auditorium was exciting. So our listeners, if you have an opportunity, have not listened yet, check it out. See us. The live recording on YouTube if you want to check it out.
And Joe, let's also talk about, so the trade show at TCI at Expo, it's massive. I mean, you and I were there for 2-3 felt like, you know, 4 days. I didn't even see every booth. I didn't even go to every booth. There's no way that a guy or gal could. I mean, there's too much. It was fun. It was a lot.
It's a lot, to the point where it's positive that it's a lot, but it's a negative it's a lot. You're right, Corey. There was, they had something this year called, you and I laughed about it, called the Thunderdome.
Demo Dome.
Never made it to the dome. I never made it to the climbing tree. I didn't know where TCIA's booth was. I didn't know. I stumbled into ISA's booth on accident. I don't know if 2.5 days is enough time to see a show that big. It's almost, what do you call it? Sensory overload.
Sensory overload. Yeah. But you know what I noticed this year compared to other years at Expo and at other trade shows? I didn't hear a lot of things over the loudspeaker. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that. And now that you say it, it was so loud in there.
It was loud. There were, you know, people climbing. There were some contests going on. Some of the equipment was going off. I did get over to the demo dome. They didn't let me hop in any equipment. I mean, I probably could have, but I didn't hop in any equipment, but, you know, it was cool. Mark Chisholm was on the floor. He was demoing stuff as well. A bunch of our past people who've been on our show were climbing, doing some trainings. You know, I think another thing I recognized about this show compared to maybe some of the past is there are a couple of trends going on in the industry right now that I think we're heading in the right direction with a lot of things. You know, I think this year, a lot of companies, whether it's Arborware or Clogger or whomever, safety's getting more and more towards the top. People are really starting to take notice of you know, arborist safety. I think that's a great thing too.
Well, obviously, what price do you put on someone's life? So you're right. You're absolutely right. I think not only safety, but battery powered.
Yes.
There was another. I don't know if we've chatted about this in the past on the podcast, but the industry is changing. It's tech, battery powered, safety, ergonomic, making sure that you're taking care of your body and safety and, excuse me. And your, you know, safety of the crew. That's gotta be paramount, but it was a big focus. I will give TCIA, oh my God, hats off on what an event that they pulled off in St. Louis. I don't know how
people, so many people, Joe.
There were so many people. And if you're in arboriculture, urban forestry, and even, you know, a little bit beyond that into municipal forestry, you could get starstruck there. I mean, the names of the industry leaders that were there, you almost need to have like a run around and get an autograph book, because some of these people really are changing the industry. And it would be amazing that one day to have this hanging up in your office, something signed by all these amazing men and women that are paving us forward and keeping us safe. So very, very cool.
That's so funny, because I did actually get a signature when we were at the show. So one of our past guests, his name is Wes from Tree Source Digital. Yeah, he does the marketing podcast. Anyhow, he signed a book for me. He was giving away books. If you mentioned an ad, I happened to see an ad that morning, said, hey, he signed it. That was kind of cool, because he's been on our show. He's been a friend for a while. So it was
very important. I think that's incredible, Corey. And you and I got to sign a poster.
We did. I got to find that.
And we also had people come into the booth. They got pictures with us.
That was cool.
So you know what? I'm humbled by it, because I think to you and I, the podcast is something that we feel we need to do to have as many people come to the booth and say how much they loved it. And again, and recognize us by our voice and stop them halfway down the aisle when they hear you and I talk it's kind of a riot. It's kind of fun. So thank you, listeners.
It is a riot. And let's continue to thank the listeners that stopped by. I wish I would have taken a pen and paper and jotted everybody's names down. Joe and I are open to feedback. We love to hear good things. We love to hear what your favorite episodes were. We'd love to hear some of the suggested topics. You know, Joe, what's amazing to me is for every person that's in the tree care industry out there, everybody's got such a unique story. Everybody has such a different journey. We should have no shortage of guests on this show, because all these journeys are different and unique. It's amazing.
Well, you hit a very important word. that most of our feedback is positive, but there was even some, there was, you even got, we even got a couple comments that weren't as positive that I think we should mention tonight that you got. And I think it's important because we had some really great guests on here, like John Snow talking about, and he's got a really neat thing going on his social about industry terms. So let our listeners know what some of the comments that you got that maybe they could help us with.
Sure. And I think one of these, one of the individuals who wanted to discuss some of the semantics, we'll call it. So Joe and I often go back and forth on things like tree service and tree care. And kind of an interesting thought on there is you go to a doctor for care, not for service. And this individual furthermore told me that when he's at a property, he looks at it as he's caring for the trees instead of just providing that service, which I thought was kind of, I thought that was a great point. I thought that was kind of interesting. And I know we go back and forth on it. So that was new to me, because just without thinking about it, we automatically go back and forth.
It goes back to one of our other guests, Charity Barnes, I think last year, where they were talking about how we address the industry. And it's the same thing as that. And we take everything to heart. We really do. I want our listeners to know that we do care when she says we use the term guys too much.
Yeah.
So, and because of her respectfully pointing that out, it really stands out when you're talking. And you're right. Defining the industry will always be an endeavor that the leaders of this industry need to do. You know, what is service? What is care? What is PHC? You know, there will always be a redefining of who we do, because this industry is still evolving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Joe and I never have the intention of offending anybody on the show. I mean, you know, if we're having a couple pints, making fun of each other, that's one thing. But on the show, we're not trying to ever single anybody out or exclude anybody from the conversation. Guys, girls, it's funny. When you give as many public presentations as Joe and I do, sometimes you can get comfortable. So, you know, you could slip up and say, hey, guys, welcome back. When you should or could say guys and girls. And it is something that happens, but I watch the news regularly with my wife, and on the news, they always say good morning, guys. And there are a couple of female anchors, and I'll be the first to go, Pamela, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And she'll go, oh, give it up. It's fine. But she's right. I mean,
you get enough listeners that make a comment on it.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I think we'll take what, your one conversation with that one listener was, and I think we'll off air, we'll build on it, and we'll come up with some suggestions on how we address this industry. I think industry is a big, big, big umbrella. Now, what you do under that umbrella, such as service or care or removal or pruning, I think you have to define, and this is just me talking, you have to define what you do in the industry, not us.
Yeah.
So we can dig into the thesaurus and get down to brass tacks about what service means and what this means. But when it comes down to it, what you do will better interpret what term you use.
Mm.
When you publicly reach out to the public and let the people know what you do.
Well, and another great example of that is, are people out trimming trees, pruning trees, or cutting trees? How you present that to the homeowner. And I've said this time and time again, and I can't wait to get onto my little soapbox about fertilizing versus feeding. But anyhow, how you present yourself to your customer or your client. See, even there's a difference. Customer versus client.
You know what? I think that that's great, Corey, that you, there are so many ISA. Now that's the whole thing. ISA, the International Society of Arboriculture, tries to create a standard, and there's terminology that we should be using. And there are words that are, has one more than one meaning. And it is tough at times to discuss one. It's okay to discuss with a homeowner, because I'm not saying that they're not as in tune to what we do on a day-to-day basis, which they're not. But when you're at TCI Expo, when you got what, 4,000 to 5,000 of the industry leading arborists, it's a heck of a debate.
Yeah. And then to even further the debate, not everybody there is an arborist. Some people have no desire. Some people are applicators. Some are climbing tech. I met so many people this past week that their job, they told me they weren't arborists, but they were, what do they call it? Large equipment operators, you know, operating cranes and grapples and all that. And I thought that was kind of an interesting, distinction that they made to me, which was good for me. It was good for me to hear, because I just assume, you know, tree people are tree people. But he said, no, I am not an arborist. I'm an equipment operator. He goes, someday I might get that. I might obtain that, but I am an equipment operator. I thought, man, way to own it. Good for you.
Yeah, we had this discussion with John Snow, what the profession, what a professional arborist is and an arborist.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's another debate, where do we define? And I love the fact that the guys you were talking to were that knew, no, I don't know enough to pass an ISA certified arborist exam, but I can run the shit out of that crane.
Oh.
And that's yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
We
I'll
need
be the
you.
Arborist. You get that branch off for me safely, and where it's a win-win.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of win-wins, I want to change this. While we still have time left, I want to go in a different direction tonight, Corey, because I almost didn't have power in the office to record a podcast this evening. So our listeners know, Corey and I do this in the evening. So sometimes we say in the evening, and you may be listening at 7 a.m. Just so you know that we do this after the kids are in bed, and we sit down and we have a really good heartfelt talk about trees. It's generally in the evening. So this afternoon, and it's all making sense now that my wife Laura and I were standing in the kitchen and the lights were flickering. So we've had rain here. It's been a blustery Winnie the Pooh, a rainy, blustery day where Eeyore's like, oh man, what a day. So we're sitting in the kitchen. We're thinking about a late afternoon pot of coffee. It was just one of those days. And everything's flickering. Well, all right. So we make a game plan. Boys come home from school. So we're like, all right, let's go do this. So we pack the boys up. Off we go. We do a little grocery shopping. Take the boys out to dinner. Get a little gas in the Jeep. Just an evening with the family. So my neighbor gives me a call. The utility pole that is in front of your house, Joe, is on fire.
Huh.
I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah. Everybody's coming. Fire department's on scene. The pole with the transformer on it in front of my house is on fire. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, you can't get down the street now. And I live on a pretty busy street. So fire department, I'm going to fast forward for time. Fire department gets there, does their job. Fire department asks my neighbor who called 911 to please help direct traffic, because this is like grassroots just starting. He runs into the public, and not saying gender, whatever, anything. Got yelled at for trying to save them from driving under a pole that is already cracking and leaning over with primaries ready to drop in the street.
A good Samaritan. He's being a good Samaritan.
He was actually, I don't know if firemen can deputize you to go out there and they're like, please they only had so many firemen on a scene. Can you go to that side and just tell people to turn around? He got berated by the general public on trying to save them. So fast forward. All right. So I'm going to take a picture of you and I'm going to turn to police. And he's like, please call the police. Please, because I don't have time. I'm trying to save you. Everybody else is turning around. So fire department gets there. They put the fire out on the pole. The pole's leaning over the road. It already broke because it was burning so much. Then they call DTE. DTE is used to be old Detroit Edison. That's our contractor for power here in Southeast Michigan. They were nothing but spectacular.
Oh, cool.
On being there within minutes. Boom. On site. Everything's safe. Road shut down. So they had to shut power down to effectively remove that pole. They actually, Corey, now these are just linemen. They're not tree guys, but there is IBEW that does energy clearance that works side by side by this amazing workforce that keeps us lit. Jumped in, took a pole down, put a new pole up, transferring to the new pole, and turned power back on within 3 hours.
Wow.
All under high wind, rain, and boneheads trying to get through.
Yeah.
These are the kind of people, like I said, now if we look like about discovering forestry, we need to look at arborists or tree guys that work through the union, like IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Here in Michigan, I do a lot of work and a lot of consultation with Local 17, which is the tree trimmers in my region. What we talk about tree care, but then put a high voltage wire through it.
Gosh.
And these guys do it every day.
In the weather.
They're there for us. And only time that you ever hear about it is when something goes wrong. You know, I don't like to throw heroes out because here, you know, but these guys are out there every day making sure that we can charge your iPhones. Heaven forbid you couldn't do that one night. And these tree guys. Back up, beep, beep, beep. Treeples, this tree industry, these tree people, these amazing group of people that are out there keeping energy on within the trees, is second to none. And I just want to give, like I said, I'm so adamant. I want to give them such a shout out because my wife and kids and my family are, got heat tonight because they were out there in adverse conditions, making sure it happened.
Yeah. How grateful, how grateful are we for people that can do that? Because you think as a climbing tree person or maybe just operating around these electrical hazards. I mean, the job in itself, there are risky parts to our job, our profession. You add into that, power and electric, gas, utility. You add into that crummy weather, because if those individuals are coming out to a property or to take care of something, it's probably really windy, rainy, hail, sleet, snow, ice, who knows what. You had all those, and then you got Johnny Public.
the stress added to divert that. Now this is inner city. Now think out in the wild. Energy runs through that too. The maintainings of these energy corridors to go from power plant to that's controlled by foresters. You know, and then when things go bad, what do? They call foresters to come in as hotshots to put stuff out. And just a huge shout out to the unsung heroes. Are they?
Yeah,
I'm having a hard time calling them heroes, but
leaders. Yeah.
I don't, a, you I don't know. Say, because I served in the Marine Corps.
Yeah. That's a good point.
They were a hero tonight.
They were a hero tonight. And not,
they were there.
You know what, Joe? We should have somebody on. I know you and I met an individual at Expo that is a fan of the show that I believe has a focus in the EHAP world. So the electric tree safety world. Let's have them on. Let's have them on. But I was also thinking, I didn't understand. I've never heard before. And I've been in the industry for a minute that there is a union for tree care, tree trimming.
Oh my God.
I've never heard that.
Do you know that the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers has been around for 125 plus years?
That's pretty cool.
So I have a great connection with some great guys in Southeast Michigan that extend it in. They're the training branch and arm of Energy Clearance. It's incredible. Yeah. You know, the IBW all works together, you know, not just electric, they're electricians, they're anything around power. So IBW is involved. And I think you're right. EHAP could, you know, gets maybe a little bit smaller towards service drops. And, but I think you're right, Corey. I think that's a great discussion for our listeners as professionals and or emerging professionals to understand that this is a great and very, very important trade that is always looking for individuals to get into. So let's turn let's find some great guests that can help us understand what they do. And if you think that's for you, how do we get you into it?
I'm with you, Joe. And that is my commitment to you and to the listeners that between now and the end of the year, Joe and I will get some of these professionals on. We'll get additional consultants on. I know we have an entomologist or two in the hopper, no pun intended.
I like that grasshopper. Okay, I got it.
He's got it. And then starting out 2024, we've already got a couple people on the list. So any of the listeners, we got a whole list of people that we met at Expo or that we were told to reach out to at Expo. So any of the listeners think of guests that you want to hear Joe and I run through the gauntlet, let us know. Maybe connect us with them or tell them if they're not already to download, subscribe to the podcast, and we'll talk trees. We'll just talk trees, talk life, because that's really what we're all about. So yeah. Joe, I'm going to get rolling here tonight, but thank you. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for everybody who helped with TCI Expo to make that the success that it was, including our team. And I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, great job, Corey. Thanks for all you do too. Awesome.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.